We've been studying in Hebrews about the message of the letter that the writer has written to these Christians that are thinking about leaving the new covenant, leaving Christ Jesus, leaving their hope of eternal salvation, going back under the Mosaic law. And in that letter that he writes, we come down to a statement that is given to us. And I'm going to have to stop this and restart it because it did not start at the first. Please bear with me. Well, let's try this again. I'm not sharing, am I?
No.
Okay, let me get that straightened up. Please, again, bear with me. And let me make sure everything is set up properly. Okay. And toward the end of that letter, in Hebrews 11th chapter, the writer considers people of faith. As a matter of fact, he goes all the way back to Abel. Back to just shortly after the beginning of time. And he talks about Abel, he talks about Abraham, he talks about Noah, he talks about all those down through the ages that are faithful. All as examples for them being followers of God and followers of God's will, followers of His Word, that were considered righteous. And then he says this in verses 32 through 40 of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, at the end of that chapter of that we usually call the chapter of the faithful. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness they were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth, and these all, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And especially there as we look in verses 39 and 40. The Hebrew writer, after telling them of all of the persecutions, trials, victories, everything that all those that were of the faithful, back even before the Mosaic Covenant, during the Mosaic Covenant, he says, all these, having obtained a report through faith, that is in faith in God's will, did not receive the promise that was in the old law. They died before the coming of Christ. But then he says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Here you have these Hebrews, these Jews, that again are thinking about leaving Christ. And those that would leave Christ, and there would be those that would, in essence was making this statement after this letter was given to them. They make this statement: sorry for the trouble. Sorry for all the problems that you went through. Sorry for all the trouble that you went through, but we are not going to continue in the faith through Christ Jesus. Sorry for the trouble. Has that changed today? I want you to consider some things with me. Are there those that are still saying sorry for the trouble? Think about it. First of all, Paul writes this to those of Corinth. 2 Corinthians 11, chapter verses 3 through 4. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preach another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you received another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with them. And he's telling these Corinthians, look, you've had the gospel preached to you. You've had one that is an apostle of Christ Jesus come to you and to give you the word of truth. And there are so many of you that are saying, in essence, well, sorry for the trouble, but we just don't believe it. We'll believe one that comes in that is not from Christ. We'll believe one that comes in that preaches a different gospel than the true gospel that is there. We will believe in one that will present to us some spirit that we like. Some spirituality that we like. We'll accept that. And they were in essence, and what Paul was trying to tell them, don't say sorry for the trouble. Don't say that, because great trouble has gone beforehand, before the preaching of the gospel. Consider with me Paul's situation. 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 24 through 28. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. That would then be by those that weren't Jews. Once was I stoned. We see the record of that in Acts 14 chapter, where he was left for dead. 3 times I suffered shipwreck, and what Paul didn't know at the writing of this is that he was going to suffer that at least one more time on his trip to Rome. A night and day I have been in the deep, and there he's talking about, and I think the ESV says, adrift in the ocean. And he says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches, and I will submit to you that weighed heavier on him than all the physical persecutions and difficulties and troubles that he went through. But we look at what he says here, and it's in connection with what he had presented earlier in that same chapter. I fear that some of you are missing the simplicity in Christ Jesus. You're looking for something else. And there are those in the world that are just continuing to look for something else. There's got to be more. There has to be something different than this. And it's no difference than what it was 2,000 years ago, whenever the Hebrew writer was talking to the Hebrews that were thinking about leaving Christ. There are those today that still look for something more. Well, Paul, sorry for all your troubles, but I just don't believe it. We continue on. Ephesians 3, verses 3 and 4. And Paul tells the Ephesians how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Sorry for all your trouble, Paul. I know you went to all this effort in staying alive to write to us, to give us your word, to give us instruction from God, but there has to be other ways that we can receive instruction from God. There has to be more. Sorry, Paul, for your trouble. We go on. Sorry, Matthew. Matthew records what Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name has done many wonderful works. Then he says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Matthew, sorry, but surely you misunderstood what Jesus said that day. Because there are so many good people that I care so much about in the world, to think that Jesus would depart from them is beyond my understanding, beyond my feelings, beyond my thinking, and it just isn't right. Sorry, Matthew, but you misunderstood Christ Jesus. Mark 16 and verse 20. Whenever Jesus is about to ascend into heaven just before he does. And after that ascension is the record of Mark the 16th chapter, verse 20. Talking about the apostles, they went forth everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. And there are people that will say, sorry, Mark, but don't you understand that there is still a need for confirmation of the word? How do I know what I have before me is God's word? How can I possibly know that? How can anyone know that? There has to be some outward confirmation of the word. Mark, you missed it. You missed it. So sorry, Mark, but what you're saying is not true. Because I need to see in order to believe. Sorry, Luke. Luke, the 24th chapter and verse 32, speaks of two men that were on the road to Emmaus. Two travelers. Jesus joined them. And Jesus was unknown by them. But Jesus joined them and he opened to them the scriptures, speaking of the prophecies concerning him. And this they said in Luke 24 and verse 32. They said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? Sorry, Luke, but you see, I'm not going to be Pharisaical. I'm not going to go just to God's word. I need something other than that. I don't get the heartburn that these two on the road to Emmaus got in hearing God's word. I don't get that. I need something more that excites me. I need something that is outward. I need something that is emotional. I need something that will tantalize my vast understanding and my vast wisdom. Sorry, Luke, but you missed it. John, the 20th chapter, verse 30 and 31. At the end of his gospel, or near the end of his gospel. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. But no, that's not again, it's the written word. No, it's not the written word. I need that which feels good, that excites me. I need something other than the written word. John, you missed it there. There has to be more. Sorry, John, but John goes on. 1 John 1, verses 3 and 4. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that your fellowship may be with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. John, how do I know that you're writing the truth? John, how do I know that you're not putting your own mind and own thoughts into things that you write? How do I know that? I need verification of that. I can't tell what the truth is. I just don't know what it is. John, sorry for the trouble, but you missed it. In Revelation, John writes, the first chapter, verses 2 through 3, who bear record of the word of God, speaking of himself, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ when he heard Jesus speak, and of all the things that he saw and what he witnessed while Christ was alive, being an apostle of Christ Jesus. Blessed is he that reads. Blessed are they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. No, John, sorry for the trouble to go and write down the words of Jesus and to send it to us. No, John, you missed it once again. It's not about the writing. It's not about the word. I need confirmation. I need to know it's true. Sorry for the trouble, John. Sorry, James. Because James says in chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. There needs to be some other transmission from God in order for there to be something that saves me. Just a knowing within. That's what I need to receive. It's more than what you sent to us through your word. There has to be more than that. Sorry, James, for all the trouble that you went through. And so far to this point, the majority of these that we know of, that were apostles at least, died for this cause. Except for John. Sorry, Peter. 1 Peter 2, verses 2 and 3. As newborn babes desire the sensible milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if so be you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. No, you see, you missed it there, Peter. The sincere milk of the Word, that full sustenance that comes from God's Word, there's other means by which we get sustenance and understanding from God's Word. And so you've missed it there. You've missed the whole point of it. In this life, how can we know, again, what is true? How can we discern what you would have us to do? Sorry, Peter, you missed it. Peter, you also missed it when you wrote in 2 Peter 1, verses 19 through 21. We have also a most sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed and unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. And he's talking there about this more sure word of prophecy that we have in the Bible. Because the things that are written concerning Christ have been fulfilled, except for one more event that will come later. And that's the end of time. And he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. No, Peter, you've got that wrong. I've heard a lot of different points on a lot of different Scripture from a lot of different people. You've got that wrong. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. No, Peter, sorry for all the trouble you went through. Sorry for your death that Jesus had foretold that you were going to be partaking in John 21. Sorry for that. But you didn't give us everything we need to know. There's still direction by means other than God's Word. Jude writes in the third verse, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. Jude, you missed it. You missed it totally there. Because you see, there is still revelation that is being given. You totally missed it. There is still word that comes from God today, separate apart from this Bible, separate apart from your word. There is something more that is out there. I know it because I have a feeling about it. I have an experience about it. I know people that have had that and they have testified to me. They have witnessed to me of the glory of the revelation that they have seen. And there have been people that have walked up to me and said, the Holy Spirit has told me. How can I reject that? No, you missed it. It's not once delivered for all. No. No, Jude. No, it's still coming. More revelation to come. Sorry, Jude, for your trouble. Sorry, Lord. Where the Lord said in John 12, 47 and 48, If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. That's such a narrow point of view, Lord. Don't you understand how hard the Scriptures are to understand, Lord? Don't you understand that? Don't you know that we can't just go to the Bible to understand what you would have? We need something, some sort of revelation, manifestation in some way to really understand what it is that you would have us to do. And it can't be the Bible. That's written words. It can't be the Bible. Sorry, Lord, but you missed that. And you also missed this. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Lord, I'll tell you, I was listening to the radio the other day and there was a preacher on there that says there is no hell. He says there's not going to be punishment. The reason being is that God is love and God would never send anyone to hell. Neither would he keep them there for all eternity. Lord, you missed it. I believe his words. I don't believe yours. Lord, sorry for all the trouble you went through, the scourging, going to the cross, dying there, raising again the third day, showing yourself alive for 40 days, and all of that, in my estimation, not enough. Sorry for your trouble. Sorry, Lord. But I've been saved by another way. I know you said in Mark 16, verse 16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. I know that. But I have friends and they are good people. And they have told me that they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And they are moral. And they are good people and have fine families. And they are happy and they are content. And they are just wonderful people. And they have testified to me about their closeness of relationship that they have with you. And for you to say this, Lord, I just can't accept that because I care so much for them. They mean so much to me. Sorry, Lord, but I've been saved another way. Some of my friends also have said a prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my personal Savior. I have sinned. I now accept Thee. Again, Lord, you missed it. There are so many different ways to be saved. Why did you try to limit this? I can't accept that. Sorry for your trouble. Sorry, but what I feel, know, and experience is my guide. Because it just feels so right. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith and not by sight. Sorry for all the trouble of writing this word and sending it to us. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, I will not do this, there are those that say. I will not examine myself to see if I'm in the faith. I will not prove myself. I will not know myself how that Jesus Christ is in you except you be reprobates. And I'll trust my feelings. That happiness that I have in believing that Christ is with me rather than looking into the Word. But I will do this with your Word. I will take it with the beliefs that I have and try to prove those beliefs, even though it says nothing about those things that I believe. I will do that. And Peter wrote this in 2 Peter 3, verses 15 through 17. Consider that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them things which are some things hard to understand. And that's an understatement that's made there by Peter. It's an understatement, hard to understand. Who can look in there and find a way to heaven in God's Word? We just have to put it aside. We just have to hope for the best and trust our feelings. Well, why is it hard to understand? Which untaught and unstable people twist or torture to their own destruction. That is, the words, the written words of God. As they do not only what Paul wrote, but also all the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. No, that can't be right, because if Jesus is preached, that's all that. Just mention His name. Mention His name. Glory to Him. Glory to the highest, because His name is mentioned. It doesn't matter what He says. We can be ignorant of God's Word, and there can be those also that are rebellious. But He loves each and every one. Sorry for the trouble that you went through in preserving this Word. Sorry for all those that lost their lives in preserving this Word that we have as the Bible today. Sorry for all the trouble, persecution, and death that went into us having the Bible today. I just don't need it. I just know that I'm in Christ. So sorry, but I'm good. Where I am, I'm good. And there's so many that say that today. I don't need the Bible. I'm just good right where I am. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1 through 3, but of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety. And that's what is being preached today, peace and safety, separate and apart from God's Word. When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Sorry, but I'm good where I am. My religion tells me not to be taught from the Bible. I need to listen to the clergy of my religion. My religion, my beliefs tells me I don't need to understand your Word. Just trust your feelings because it feels so good. Sorry for the trouble. Romans 14, 11 and 12. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let me ask you this morning. Do you know people like that? Because they are throughout the world. Some of them, because of ignorance, will not look into God's Word. Some of them, because of rebellion, will not look into God's Word. Some of them, because they're expecting something to take place. There was a preacher. He's now dead. But his mantra was, expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. He's the same one that pleaded for money from his people and all those that would listen to him. And he made the statement, unless I raise $5 million by midnight tonight, the Lord has told me that he will take me home. Will you save my life? Will you help me before midnight to get the $5 million to me? Will you do that? Expect a miracle. And there it was. The $5 million came in. And all that was a testimony to those that had rather believe a lie than to believe the truth written in God's Word. Will you believe the truth this morning? Maybe you're not a child of God. Will you take His Word that is written, preserved for us through the death of many, through the persecution of many, that gives you instruction unto life? Will you take that Word and will you act upon it? Will you today have faith in Jesus Christ? Will you have that? And upon that faith in Christ Jesus, will you make a change in your life? It's called repentance. It's not a dirty word. It's a change of mind. It says, I'm no longer going to serve self. I'm not going to look for other means other than through God's Word to conduct my life. I will turn to my God and to His Word. Will you name the name of Christ this day, just as that Ethiopian nobleman did 2,000 years ago? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And do like him there in Acts 8, chapter verses 36 and following. And he said, see, here's water. What hinders me to be baptized? And Philip told him, if you believe, you may. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they both got out of the chariot and went down into the water. And Philip baptized him and he came up out of the water. Do you know what caused that? Go a little bit further up in Acts 8, chapter. The preaching of Jesus. The Word of God. It was being given through Philip at that time. Will you not say to the Lord, sorry for all the trouble. Sorry for your flogging. Sorry for your crucifixion. Sorry for your death. Will you say, my Lord lives, and now I will live for Him. Those of us here today, don't expect a miracle because the miracle has already come. The miracle of Jesus being raised the third day. And not raised in defilement, but raised in purity. And all of that to make the foundation of the truth, this Bible that we have, to be true. And that's the reason that Paul says to those at Ephesus, find out what is acceptable to God through God's Word. Because it's there. If there are those we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.